Good morning, everybody. Could I just have your attention for a moment? There's been some important news just breaking whilst we've been gathering here for this service. It seems that some of our friends went this morning to the tomb and they discovered it was empty. Peter and John have just sent me a message. They said they got there and clothes were lying there, but there was no sign of Jesus. And we've just been hearing that the disciples were gathered in a room and Jesus appeared and spoke to them and ate with them. Ladies and gentlemen, I think this can only mean one thing, that the prophets were right, that our king was going to suffer all along, but that God has vindicated him and brought him back to life. Jesus is alive. What happened? Did it go away again? Right, you might have to ad-lib the words while we sort out what's happened. Alleluia, Christ is risen. It's Easter morning. It's the most exciting day of the year. It's a happy day when we remember that Christ defeated death. He came back to life. So we're just going to take a few moments to say Happy Easter to everybody around you. Why don't we stand and greet each other? Happy Easter. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of that, that death is dead. You have defeated it. Love has won. You are the conqueror. So, Heavenly Father, we gather to praise you today. Come and be powerfully present with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do have a seat, and Charlotte is going to come and bring us our gospel reading.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, where you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings!" And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Well, I want us to explore a little bit two ideas this morning, power and authority. Okay, power and authority. So number one, let's talk about power. I was thinking, what's the best way to illustrate to an Easter morning audience what power is all about? Oh, my pictures have disappeared again. Hold on, they're coming. There we go. There we go. That's the most powerful thing I own. The Toyota Corolla Verso, 7 seats. Of powerful joy, and 134 brake horsepower. Oh, yes. This is living the dream in your 40s, the Corolla Versa. But I thought it would be good just to have a little comparison of, you know, how powerful or not is this. We'll play a little game of top trumps, if that's all right with you. So what about a Fiat 500 Abarth? Okay, so Fiat 500 Abarth, in case you don't know, Abarth is the nutcase version of Fiat. It's their sort of GTI division. So this is the souped-up Fiat 500. How many brake horsepower do you think that's got? Well, let's just keep it simple. Is it more or less than a sky blue Toyota Corolla 7-seater? Just before you rush to judgment, it is the D4D edition, just so you know, with the T3 sport gear. So who thinks more? Hands up for more. Oh, you little faith. Who thinks less? Less. Oh, I'm doing better than I thought. Fiat 500's got 140 brake horsepower, so that is more power than the Foster family Toyota Corolla. Okay, so a bit more tricky one. What about if we compare the Fiat 500 with a VW Golf GTI? Again, the latest one. This has got quite a lot of silly power. But again, who thinks that's more? Hands up if you think that's more than the Fiat 500 Nutter Abarth edition. More or less? Anybody think it's less? Okay. Yeah, actually, thumping 226 brake horsepower. That is just dangerous, folks. Do not buy that car. That's insanity. Definitely more. Okay, one of my favourites. No, it's not a hairdresser's car. Mazda MX-5. They spent a lot of time butching it up. It's fine now. It is. Who thinks that the Mazda MX-5 has got more horsepower than the GTI? Hands up for more horsepower than the GTI. I mean, it's a two-seater, it's rear-engined, front-engined, rear-wheel drive, pretty epic. Again, who thinks it's less? Oh, you see, you're not easy to... 157, just 157, but it's a lot lighter. That's the point, a lot lighter. One more, okay, one more. So this one might be a bit tricky. You're going to have to concentrate for this. So Mazda MX-5 or Airbus A3-220. The anybody been in an A320? Yes, this is the sort of European walk. This is the European workhorse of the skies. Who thinks that's got more brake horsepower than a Mazda MX-5? Really? Really? Took me quite a while to work out how much brake horsepower, because it turns out to be surprisingly complicated to calculate brake horsepower in an aeroplane. But it's actually got 20,000 brake horsepower. If you've been in one and you sort of, you know, when you have that takeoff moment and it feels like you're just driving up a ramp, it is extraordinary how much power is in an Airbus A320. There's just loads more. In fact, it's not really worth comparing the cars with the A320, is it? It's just in a league of its own. So, okay, so that's power. Now, authority. This is a slightly more complicated concept, isn't it, authority? It's linked to power, but it's also about power that is rightfully yours. We often talk about people having authority. So, if you go to school, particularly if you're in primary age, my question for you is, do you have more or less authority than the head teacher? Okay. So, who thinks that you've got more authority than the head teacher? Really? Okay. All right. Yeah, you may be wrong on that. Of course, the head teacher has more authority than the children. That's the point, that they are in her care. That's Mrs. Merriman, who's our local St. John's head teacher. But there are people who've got more authority, aren't there, than head teachers, as well as people who've got less. So if we compare her with a police officer, for instance, slightly tricky, isn't it? Because it depends on what context you're in. But the way I look at it, police officers are allowed to arrest you and take you down the police station. And for me, that means they've got more authority. Yeah, definitely. But of course, there are people who've got more authority than a police officer. Can anybody think of anybody who's got more authority than a police officer? Do you want to shout at you? A judge? A judge, very good. Barrister? I'm not sure. who do you think might have more authority? An army general? Your wife, yes, very good. anybody else? Well, I was thinking the Prime Minister. Prime Minister, definitely more authority. And who's got more authority than her? What about Her Majesty? God bless her. Her Majesty the Queen. But do you know, the interesting thing is that on Easter Day, we've got an A320 in the church, haven't we? We've got something that isn't even worth comparing with even the Queen. Even the Queen says, this person has got more authority than me. And that person is, of course, Jesus. Do you know, after that reading we just had from Charlotte, so he comes back from the dead, he's alive again, and he says this to the disciples, quite extraordinary claim. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's not just an Airbus A320, he's got all authority. There is no other authority other than the stuff that he's got. He's got more than anybody and everything else. And that's obvious on a day like today, isn't it? When we remember that he came back from the dead. How many other people have ever done that? In Jesus, God defeats death. He beats the 100% statistic. One in one dies. Actually, not quite. 999.99999 out of 1,000 die. But Jesus comes back to life. He has more authority than anybody ever in all time. And that has really practical consequences for us and how we live, because we get ourselves concerned and anxious about all sorts of things. We worry about our relationships, don't we? We worry about things going on in our family, things going on with our friends. We worry about the fact that we just don't seem to be able to stay in a good relationship with everybody all the time. What is that all about? Why are relationships so difficult? And we worry about the future as well, don't we? I know a number of you are beginning to think about those dreaded E words, the exams coming up in the summer. And are we ready for them? How are we going to do in them? Are we going to do as well as we need to do? What's our future going to look like? And that never goes away. At every stage of life, we're worrying about what's coming our way. Maybe for you, it's health. Maybe it's all about your physical fitness. Maybe it's all about the state of health that you or somebody that you know is in right now. Or maybe it's about your finances. Maybe they just never seem to be quite as under control as they need to be. There never seems to be quite enough of it. Maybe you've even got yourself in a bit of a mess over it. Maybe it's something else entirely. But what Jesus says is, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Authority over all of those things. Relationships, health, finances, the future. Whatever it is that's on your plate and causing you anxiety today, Jesus has authority over it. And there's an even better bit. Because Jesus came back from the dead, it means that he's still alive today. Have you ever thought about that? When somebody comes back from the dead, he goes up into heaven, but he didn't die. He's still around. And that means that we can talk to him and we can get to know him. He sends his Holy Spirit who dwells in us so that we can get to know him and have a really good relationship with God. And it means that we can talk to him right now. Which is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for ourselves, we're going to pray for our church, and we're going to pray for the world. So you may find it helpful to close your eyes. You don't have to close your eyes to pray, but you might find it helpful if you find other things distracting. And we're going to pray to Jesus, who's risen from the dead. So Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, and thank you that he rose from the dead and now has more authority than we can imagine. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And thank you that he wants to be our friend. So Jesus, we want to know you better. We want to place ourselves under your authority and to know the peace that comes from recognizing that you are in charge. So Heavenly Father, help us to live this week and the rest of our lives in the knowledge of your love and your care for us and your power to change things for the better. And Father, we want to pray for our church. We just thank you for the life that there is in this place. We thank you for each other and the family that you've brought us together to be. We thank you for those who lead us in the national church and at diocesan level and in other denominations. We thank you for all that you're doing through your church in this country. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bring new life and hope and peace in this land. And Father God, we want to pray for our world as well. There's so much to be anxious about. There's so many wars and rumors of wars. There's famine and disease and hunger. Father God, thank you that you are in authority over all of it. There may be something in particular that has struck you this week that you want to pray for in the world or in our community or in your family. Just bring that to mind right now and offer it to Jesus, who has all authority. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us this morning. We pray that we will continue to listen to your voice and grow to know you better every day. In Jesus' name, amen.